nothing's wrong. Believe in something, but the writing's on the wall.
Good morning and welcome to episode 236 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. So, first weekend of the NCAA tournament is over. How's your bracket? Yeah, I guess a few people have their brackets already busted. Oh, well. That's what you all like. It's what we all love about the tournament. Tournament time is about to hit second weekend. So looking forward to Thursday. Should be some fun. Actually, there's some great matchups. We can go talk a little bit about those in a couple minutes. First, you know, to let you know how you can get in contact with the show, easiest way is to catch me on Twitter. I'm at Hein News, HEINNEWS. On Facebook, you can go to Taking the Charge Podcast, put that in, and there is that Facebook group. You can go to the website, HeinNews.com. You can email me, HeinNews@GMX.de. Mr. Hein News on Instagram, the new one. I haven't really been very active on it, but I do plan on being more active in that. I guess I'm a little late to the party, but whatever. So I don't know exactly how to deal with Instagram just yet, but we'll see. Also go to iTunes, rate and review the show. And also, if you want to, it would be great to go to Patreon and support the show. You can make a donation and show the love to the podcast. That is at patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word. patreon.com/takingthecharge. So those are all the ways you can get in contact with the show with me. Okay. NCAAs. Let's go to just not too long. But you know, just talk a little bit how fun all this is. You look at the Midwest, Oregon, Michigan, Kansas against Purdue. Two really nice matchups. Where's my bracket? Not that it's very good, but I think a lot of people probably have Oregon and Kansas and Purdue, since those are the three of the top four seeds. So obviously two in that is Louisville, who got bounced by Michigan, who's kind of a feel good story right now. I have to admit, with Mo Wagner playing pretty well, the German from Berlin, that's very, very exciting for me. Saw him a couple times 2 years ago. And I liked him, and I was kind of a little bit questioning, you know, what happened last season, why I didn't do too much. So great to see him playing well. Oregon is going to be a good one. It's going to be a good Oregon, Michigan, Kansas, Purdue. Kansas is really looking great. In the West, Gonzaga still alive, survived, survived against Northwestern, and now they're going to take on West Virginia. Arizona is taking on Xavier. Xavier has taken down a couple of higher seeds, lower seeds, whatever, if you actually, as an 11. South region, that's chalk. And so you have South. That is North Carolina and Butler. Should be good, but I think the marquee matchup, Kentucky Wildcats against UCLA Bruins. I definitely have to figure out what time that's going to be and make sure I am watching that game without a doubt. And then East Regional, probably the region that most people got busted the most, and that is with Duke losing and Villanova losing. I don't think anybody had that. I'm sure somebody has it, but not many people have it. So you have Baylor as the 3 seed playing against South Carolina, took down Duke, and Florida, the 4th seed, taking on Wisconsin, who took down Villanova. Those are the Sweet 16. I have 3 of my 4 teams still in it with Arizona, UCLA, and Kansas. Gonzaga, Arizona. Nobody cares about my bracket. Anyhow, really, like I said, that Kentucky, UCLA, that's going to be a great game to see how Lonzo Ball deals with those great guards from Kentucky. Kansas, I think that Kansas game see how Josh Jackson is doing. He's been having a great tournament. Oregon, had the game winner from Dorsey, who, international fans will know from playing the Greek national team. Dylan Brooks is playing really well. It's exciting, and you haven't had spectacular games. There's been some, but this is what you want. I mean, there's a couple of, Xavier's an 11, and I guess they're the highest seed left. That's, you're not gonna, you have some big, you have a lot of big schools there, a lot of big conferences, and so that's pretty exciting. South Carolina, it's an SEC team, so a lot of big time programs are left, which is always good to see. I mean, okay, you're gonna, it's a tournament, so you're gonna lose your Villanovas, your Dukes, your Louisvilles, but you still have plenty of guns ablazing here for the Sweet 16, Elite 8. And then the next time we talk, we'll be on the precipice of the Final Four. All right. So I was out and about in Germany last couple days. Went down to Munich on Sunday. Had myself a very long day. Took in a JBBL and a U16 game of Bayern against Crailsheim. And took in only the first half, missed the second half. Turns out the second half was pretty exciting, but needed to move on. Took in Bamberg against Bayern against Ludwigsburg to check out Amar Gegic and Nelson Weidemann, Marco Pekarski. They took down Ludwigsburg. Who most of that team was at the Adidas Next Generation tournament. That was the playoffs. So they won the first game of that. IBAM and Ursprung IBAM is just a really big team, International Basketball Academy in Munich, just a really big physical team. Tell you, Oscar Da Silva just took over that game, and you know, they got out of hand really fast. Orspring, unfortunately, was not playing. Was playing without Jason George, who would have been nice to see at that game, but yeah, can't have it all. And then the nightcap at the Audi Dome was Bayern against Bamberg, and that was a tough one to watch, especially that second quarter. I think maybe 20 points were scored, maybe. Defensive battle, and wasn't very pretty. Bayern ended up winning. Not enough that they had take the head-to-head tiebreaker that's owned by Bamberg. Bamberg then also saw them then lose at home in the EuroLeague against Baskonia. And, you know, they have a tough week. They got they actually have Milano tomorrow, Thursday, in the EuroLeague in Italy, and then on Sunday is the big game at home against Ratiopharm Olum. Olum, if you missed it, they have broken the record for the most consecutive wins and biggest in-season winning streak of 26 games. Eclipsed the 25-game winning streak from TUS Leverkusen from 1969-1970 season. They're going to have, you know, if they can make it to 28, that's going to be impressive, because they are in Bamberg on Sunday and then host Bayern on the next weekend. So gonna be it's gonna be some record if they can push it up to 28. If they go 28, you know, they could probably run the table. That would not shock me in the least. Let's see if I can call that up really quick. Who else they might have on that schedule? But you know, those obviously are two pretty big guns, and if they can do that, you know, they can run the table. That's going to definitely be impressive. Let's see. So Bamberg, and then at home against Bayern, then travel to Würzburg, host Gießen, who's trying to make the playoffs, host Frankfurt's trying to make the playoffs, go to Ludwigsburg, who might end up challenge for the fifth spot, although it looks like they'll probably either finish seventh or sixth in the playoffs. So that's going to be a tough game, actually, the penultimate game. And then just 2 days later is the last game of the regular season at home against Tübingen, who probably by that point will have been saved as far as not going down. So, yeah, if you look at, you know, they have, so at Würzburg, and, you know, Würzburg is pretty much saved as far as not going down. Ludwigsburg probably are going to be safe, maybe in their spot. You know, they'll probably want to win, and it's at home. Maybe there they can go down, but yeah, so having Gießen and Frankfurt, you know, both at home, you know, that's going to be definitely a benefit for those teams, for Ulm. So yeah, they beat if they win two more games, these next two games, it wouldn't be a shocker if they go undefeated, which, yeah, that's a heck of a feat. All right, but Bamberg is far from dead. You know, you figure the March 30th is the last game of the EuroLeague for them, and then they play one game a week. Well, or whatever, you know, basically one game a week, and then you know, so, you know, focus, having rest between games, everything else, and, you know, just makes it a lot easier. And so they're still the favorite, without a doubt, in my eyes. You know, they're not really, you know, hurting. Mauta Loh was banged up, didn't play against Baskonia. He got hurt in the Bayern game. Strelnik's, I guess, has another couple of weeks. So he'll be, you know, back on board. Yeah, I still would say that Bamberg is the favorite to win it. Although, you know, it's going to be fun with Ulm, especially if they can lock up the home court advantage, which I think they do if they beat Bamberg on Sunday. Bamberg, then they still have to go to Göttingen, play at home against fourth place and rival and Franconia rivals, Medi Bayreuth. Go to Tübingen, have a home game against Alba Berlin, host Bremerhaven, and then go to Jena to finish the season. So Bayreuth, Bayreuth and Berlin, couple of decently difficult games. But both of those games being at home. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. So interview of the week, actually going to stay with Bamberg, at the Baskonia game, the Germany's, one of Germany's top, 98 born talents, Louis Alinda, had a chance to make his EuroLeague debut. And I had a chance to talk to him after that, and then talked to him about EuroLeague, talked to him about BBL, talked to him about Pro A, second division in Germany, and about being an actor in a movie. So, without further ado, here's my interview with Louis Alinda. Enjoy, and we'll catch you on the other side. All right. So on the show this week, Louis Alinda. Louis, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
First off, I guess let's start with the big achievement actually last night then in Bamberg, where you were able to make your EuroLeague debut. You played against Baskonia. Got in the second quarter. Congratulations. Maybe just in general, your thoughts about being able to play for the first time in the EuroLeague.
Thank you very much. It was a nice feeling. I mean, it's like a childhood dream coming true. Since I'm watching EuroLeague, I haven't dreamed about playing by myself once. And yeah, it's nice to have this date, like this debut with 19. I didn't expect beginning of the season, but yes, it's just a nice feeling.
We talked actually after the game, and you were talking about how you were told that that you would be on the roster and that, you know, maybe be ready. Maybe just your thoughts when Coach Trinkieri actually called your name out in the second quarter.
It was crazy. I was a little bit surprised, to be honest, because it was middle of the game, middle of second quarter. I didn't expect to come in that early. So he called my name. I was like, I didn't realize at the first moment. I was like, okay, I got to go. It was crazy. It was a nice feeling. And yes, so he called my name. I went on the court, and it was just a nice feeling.
One of the first guys you were defending was Shane Larkin. Obviously, Larkin is a guy who, you know, was a pretty big NCAA star and played in the NBA. You know, when you're going against him, you know, what are you thinking then? You know, this is EuroLeague, and you're going against guy who was in the NBA. You know, other players on that Baskonia team are also in the NBA, and you know, and switches or whatever, mm-hmm. you were called to guard them. What were your thoughts about during that game?
During the game, I'm not thinking about it, to be honest. I'm just, yeah, trying to do my best, defend, play offense. So in this moment, not, of course, after the game, I thought, oh my damn, who did I just guard? It's like, it's crazy, you know? It's like, big names. I watched them the last years, EuroLeague, some in NBA, and it's just like playing against them now. This is a crazy feeling. It's yes, but as I said during the game, I'm trying to not think about it. Of course, I have a lot of respect for these players, for what they achieve, but still, I'm trying to do my best and trying to, handle them like would handle a normal player, for example, in second division or first division in Germany.
You hit your first basket, also picked up a rebound and an assist. How do you think you did?
I think I did okay. I mean, I think the most important is not the offense when I go on the court, but the defense, especially on this higher level. I think over the defense, I can get a spot in the team. So I think I did okay. I mean, it's always nice to have a debut and then score right away and have an assist, but I think I did a good job also in defense. I mean, it's tough to play against like more athletic players or players with more experience, but I think I did an okay job.
Yeah, defense will get you into games, man. Right?
Yes.
You've actually played 7 games now already in the BBL. Your first BBL game, actually. Thought about it. I was actually there too, wasn't I? When you played against Frankfurt.
That's true.
Talk about the time you've had in the BBL. When you have a chance to get on the roster and then get in the game, what are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to stop my man. This is what Coach Sinkiri tells me all the time. Play defense and offense will come. So I try to play my best defense, stop my man, help my teammates out, and then take open shots, maybe get a drive and assist. Yes, but first of all, play defense.
let's take a step back. Probably about this time last year, maybe a couple months later, whatever. You're really starting to try to figure out what's going to go, what you're going to do then. Eventually, in the summer, you decided to sign a 4-year deal with Bamberg. You had been with Humber Towers. Humber Towers is an organization that's trying to do things. They're still in the Pro A. And Bamberg also wasn't the only team that would have liked to have brought you in. Maybe just talk about your decision on first saying, okay, well maybe now is not the time to stay with Hamburg, and then why. What was the key on choosing Bamberg?
That's a good question. I was, I always played in Hamburg, had a good time in Hamburg, but I thought there was a point that maybe I need something different. I finished my school, so I wanted to have a new surrounding, like a new club, like new city maybe, and so. I visited a lot of clubs in summer, and Bamberg was just the perfect fit for me with the Pro A, one higher level than I played last year. Last year I played Pro B, so I thought this is a good opportunity, and also with a great coach and a great professional team. And I mean, having the opportunity to play in the Pro A, major minutes, and still have the chance to practice with the EuroLeague team. I think this is one of the best situations you can have as a young player. So I decided to go to Bamberg.
How hard was it to leave Hamburg? I mean, they had shown the commitment to you, and had really liked to have kept you. Mm-hmm. How hard was it leaving Hamburg?
Of course, it was hard because I have a lot of friends there, coaches I had since I'm playing basketball. So it was a tough decision, but still I had to look what is the best for me as a basketball player and also as a person. So I think it was the right decision. So it's was a little bit easier to leave Hamburg in the end.
You're not really playing NBBL. You know, you just had a couple games early in the season. You're really just doing Pro A, the second division, and then a couple of games here and there in the BBL. Over the last four games, looked at the stats, and you're averaging 16 points and more than 9 rebounds over the last four games. You know, your stats, your production has just, you know, continually increased all season. Just, you know, maybe talk about how the season has gone for you in the Pro A. You know, maybe where you see the biggest steps are in what you've improved.
I was lucky because I always had the chance to play a lot, even though in the beginning I struggled a lot. It was like tough, the new surrounding, the new club, then a higher level. It was tough to play in the Pro A right away, but I found my way, and now I'm, found my position. I saw what I can do on the court, and I think, I just have a feeling for the game in the Pro A right now. So yes, I'm able to put on some stats. And yes, I think I developed a lot over the season, offensively as defensively, and developing my body a little bit. I think, it's getting better and better.
Where do you feel most comfortable? Not necessarily position, but, you know, like in the game right now, you know, where, you know, what are you really comfortable doing? You know, the last, you know, two of the last four games, you've also had double doubles, you know, so you're using your length to get the rebounds and everything else. You know, you're still not necessarily shooting a lot from the outside. Do you feel that your shot is coming along, a little bit more? You know, you're being very active on defense with, you know, getting steals and stuff like that. You know, where what are some of the areas where you really feel comfortable?
Of course, on the defensive end, playing against nearly every position from point guard to power forward. I really like it to get, like, over the defense, get into the game, and then attack and transition. I really like it. Fast break, also push the ball after getting the rebound. And attacking the basket a lot, getting offensive rebounds, easy finishes under the basket, some backdoor cuts, out of the double team and post, whatever. So get touches near the basket and use my body to score.
What are you working on?
Right now I'm working a lot on my shot, from 3-point line, but also mid-range pull up. I think if I can develop my shot a lot, it will be a lot of easier. The court will space out for me because players have to defend my shot, so I can attack way better, like with more space. So I think developing my shot is really important right now for me.
We talked about last, you know, what it was like for you to play last night. Actually, listeners of the podcast a couple months ago, then back in September, could hear what you thought about your BBL debut. Bring us back to January 21st when you went back to Hamburg to play the Towers. You know, obviously, you know that organization and. A lot of people there. Maybe talk about what was it like for you to go back to Hamburg for the first time as an opponent.
It was it was emotional. I was thinking about the game for a lot of weeks, looking forward to it, like on a good way, but also on the bad way. I mean, like chasing my friends as opponents is always tough, but I was also excited to play and show how I developed and meet old friends again in Hamburg and old coaches. So it was a nice game, a nice experience to get back where everything started like this. And Yeah, it was nice.
Has there been a point this season where, you know, you look at, you know, say beginning of February, you know, there's, you know, kind of a little bit of a more of a spike maybe in production. Has there been a point this year where you're, you know, like, well, you know what, I more than belong at this level, and now it's time for me to even, let's say, take over or even try to do things, you know, that I didn't believe in myself before. Was there a point in this season where you kind of, you know, actually sort of, you know, even felt a mental shift in your abilities and what you would be able to do?
Over the time, because I practice a lot with the professional team and it's getting better and better for me in this team. So I thought if I can play in this practices and with the EuroLeague team, I have to be able to put on some stats and play. So I didn't say from one day to another, I decided to play like as I'm doing now, but it came with the time. It was, I realized more and more how good I can play and where my, what I can do on the court. So it was kind of a process, but now I think I found a way to produce.
You guys are fighting to, in Pro A, you're fighting to stay in the league. You know, there's only a couple more games there. You know, you're able to get into the BBL a little bit. You know, obviously some important games coming up now for them. So, you know, it remains to be seen exactly how much you're able to play. You know, going down to NBBL, you know, don't really know how much, you know, that really will help you. What do you want to accomplish now? What do you want to, you know, what do you want to do the next couple months?
Of course, hold the league with the Pro-A team. This is my first goal right now.
Yeah.
To win the next two games or at least one to stay in the league, and then focus on my personal development. I mean, then the Pro-A season is over. Maybe I will get some playing time in the BBL. But when it goes to the playoffs, I think for me, it's important to develop myself, my body, my shot, and yeah, get a better player. And also maybe, I think the NBBL playoffs started right now, so maybe I will have a chance to play there the next game. And yes, I think this could be also a goal to get as far as possible and NBBL playoffs, maybe make the top four. But I think after the Pro-A season, it's more about developing myself.
Yeah. How many guys on the team, and any of the teams, I would say, you know, NBBL, Pro-A, BBL, could say that they're actually movie actors?
They're movie actors?
Yeah. obviously, you had a... You had a role in the film Starting Five.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Have they seen it at all yet?
They didn't see it yet, but I think they will, or maybe at least maybe get something on YouTube, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I had to hear something like, "What are you doing in the movie? And is it your career, whatever?" Like some stuff like this, but. I didn't watch the movie yet, so I'm excited to watch it and yeah, let's see what it is.
I've actually seen it already, so.
Yes. You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like it or?
It's a good tale about the club and the development and stuff like that. So what was that experience like for
okay.
you? What was that experience like for you? You know, having film crew kind of around you and kind of talking to you and whatever?
To be honest, I didn't really know it was like really like a film that is going to the, like a movie that's going to the cinemas, but I thought it's more like a, I don't know, a DVD, something like this. But they did like 2-3 days, they followed me in practice. We did some scenes. I think they followed me when I was driving to practice, stuff like this. And yeah, No, they did a cinema movie out of it.
And also, there's probably not too many guys who have a father who's an NCAA champion. You know, your dad went to UCLA, you know, obviously played the last championship with Coach Wooden. Maybe just how excited is he right now with the NCAA tournament, with UCLA being one of the title candidates?
I think a lot. He's following a lot U.S. basketball, NCAA, but also NBA. And we are chatting a lot about it. Like, you saw this play after Moritz Wagner had his 26-point game.
Yep.
We were talking a lot about that. I mean, it's nice. Just this March Madness, the whole thing, following the game, following the stats, the colleges, it's always nice.
What do you, I mean, you've talked to him your whole life, obviously, and basketball has been an important part of that communication, I assume. What basketball aspects do you take from him now when you talk to him, like after games and whatnot, you know, like when you see him, when you talk to him, you know, what kind of basketball ideas or whatever do you want to get out, do you try to get from him now?
The most of the things he's telling me is not some like specific basketball stuff, like shoot high or whatever, but like the behavior on the court and like the mindset, like how to think about defeats and wins and just like stay on the ground and just, yeah, just mental stuff more than, like, as I said, like technical basketball stuff.
I see you have a younger brother as well, Jason. Is he started playing basketball? Is he has he got the gene in there as well, or no?
I think he has, but he's the only one in the family who's playing soccer.
Okay.
I don't know, since he's 6 years old, everybody was playing basketball around him, and he decided to play soccer. I don't know why. He's even taller than I was at this age. And yes, he's basketball interested. He's playing a lot of 2K and watching also NBA and all this stuff, but he's playing soccer. It's his thing.
How old is he?
He's 16 now.
16, okay. Well, there's...
Yes.
Although I guess that's kind of late to start playing basketball. But, you know, there's the...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the court vision or whatever is still valuable, as you know, from playing soccer.
Yeah.
I saw in your free time, you know, whatever free time that you may have, whatever downtime, that you also enjoy playing some PlayStation. I assume NBA 2K. Do you have a team that you pick?
Lakers or Houston. I really like to play with the Lakers, like an underdog team. So if I lose, I can say they had the better team.
Okay.
But still, playing D'Angelo Russell is nice. Julius Randle, strong body. Also Houston, James Harden, of course. Yes. Eric Gordon as a shooter. I think it's a pretty solid team. Like, yeah.
Who are some of the guys that you grew up watching?
Kobe Bryant. It was also always him. I was watching him since I can remember thinking about basketball. It was always Kobe Bryant. Then the last few years when Kobe was injured, the one season, was Kevin Durant, because he's like kind of my type of player, type of body. So I try to watch him, try to watch his plays and use something of it on the court.
What does Nowitzki mean to you?
I mean, of course, he's the biggest German basketball player ever. So I was always looking up to him. But I think it's not that kind of player, that kind of playing style I like. So. There's a lot of respect for sure, but when I'm watching games, I'll more likely watch athletic players like Kevin Durant or Kobe Bryant, because I like this kind of playing a little bit more.
And, you know, obviously, moving on to the national team, you know, you guys, you know, for the first time were able to win the Albert Schweitzer tournament last spring. And then, you know, you guys went to Samson. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're, you know, definitely a title contender and ended up losing to Lithuania and then also losing to Italy in the third place game, yes. Ended up finishing fourth. You know, maybe just take the under 18 year that you guys had. You know, you didn't have you know, a couple of the guys then in Mannheim, and then you were also, you know, missing like, you know, Isaac Bonga, Richard Freudenberg in Samson. You know, you guys finally got, you know, back to the semifinals for the first time in a long, long time. And you know, you guys have qualified for the under 19 World Championship, Basketball World Cup. Taking a look at the under 18 year, 2016, what do you take out of that?
I mean, it was successful. We achieved something that a basketball team in Germany, a youth basketball team, never achieved. We won the Albert Schweitzer tournament, as you said. I mean, it was a great, great experience to win this tournament at home. And then, yeah, we were preparing for this European Championship in summer. It got postponed because of the situation in Turkey. And, we played then over Christmas. We had, like, I think 1 week of preparation. It was tough. Of course, it was tough for every team, but we struggled to, find a flow like we had in other Schweizer tournament. Of course, it was a little bit disappointing to finish fourth, but, we achieved something. We qualified for the World Championship, and this is, I think it's going to be a great tournament, a great experience we're going to have.
Let's move into it. You know, first game is Lithuania. You know, I've talked to a couple of the other guys, the Germans from that team, and, you know, there's definitely, you know, revenge on your mind a little bit, you know, having them beating you in the semifinal.
Of course.
You have Lithuania as the first game. The other two teams are Egypt, you know, the host team, and Puerto Rico. Talk about the group and I assume probably that big first game of Lithuania.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a revenge for sure. So Arnoldas was telling me a lot of stuff after the European Championship, showing me his medal.
Arnoldas Kulboka, your teammate at Bamberg, who was with Lithuania.
Yes. Yes.
He showed you the medal.
It has to be a revenge. Yes, a lot of times. I mean, yes, we're good fans, but still, it's going to be a revenge at the World Cup. I think from the players-wise, we are the better team, and we got to show that on the court. So, yes, we have to win the first game and then move on. Look what we got next in the group, and then hopefully, make some history for German basketball, maybe advance to the semifinal, then let's see what we can do.
You know, what's it like, you know, Germany's producing a lot of guys right now, you know, it's like especially 97, 98, 99, you know, this is like the first sort of fruits of all the labor that Germany's had, you know, with all of these, you know, the work in the NBBL under 19, JBBL under 16 league. What's it like being, you know, let's say one of the bigger, more, you know, a prominent national team player, and being part of this youth movement going on right now in Germany?
It's nice. I think you can see the development, as you said. We're getting more high quality players in youth teams, and I think it's nice to be a part of a good generation, having chances to win titles and medals at some international youth tournaments. And yes, I'm glad to be a part of that.
What's Germany doing right now?
I think they, as you said, with the MBBL, they have a more professional youth league where I think the quality and the the basketball quality is getting higher and higher. We have a lot of players who can play in the MBBL, but also already play in maybe Pro B, Pro A, and get minutes over there. So I think they're doing a great job to connect the professional teams like Bamberg with a good youth program and a good maybe second team or farm team. I think this is what they're doing really good.
It seems to me that right now Germany can there's a certain level of expectation now that can be that could be had for Germany now at tournaments. You know, you go in now and saying minimum goal is the world championship. You know, like if you look at the 2001 generation, you know, at the under-16s this year, you know, you have to go in and say absolute minimum goal is to qualify for the world championship, World Cup. And then that Germany now, and almost every group you can almost say is, you know, competing for a medal for the podium should be the goal. Yes. You know, every team, you know, even the team that's going to finish 15th says, oh, we want to win the tournament. But, you know, there's a certain realism that needs to be, you know, that needs to be in place.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that Germany has gotten to a point where, you know, realistically, you know, you guys go into these tournaments now, these youth tournaments, and saying we should medal. Is that would you agree with that? That even, you know the generations below you now that's starting to have a feeling then among all the players?
Of course. I mean, it should be. We all play basketball to win, of course, especially in national team, but I think it's true. At the beginning, it was like, back then it was more like we have the chance to play a European championship, but right now it's getting more in this way. We want to win something at the European championship. It's not just playing there, but also winning something. And I think this is the next step. I mean, playing basketball and then playing successful basketball. I think this is what everybody wants. So it's nice to go in tournaments like this to know that you have a good team and set goals, so you're trying to achieve them during the tournament.
You look at Kabulka, and you know that, you know, the Lithuanians, especially also because the 99 generations had a lot of success as well, you know, they're going to be going into this tournament mm-hmm. with a lot of expectations from home, from the fans back home. And I think it's fair to say that you guys have zero pressure from the general public in Germany to perform, to do anything. So two questions out of that. One, what do you think about that? And don't you wish, you know, like if you looked at if you took the German talent and put it on Serbia and they went into a tournament and if they didn't take a medal, you know, there'd be an outcry. You know, same thing, you know, with Lithuania or Spain. Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if there was that support in German basketball, in the general public, support, but also then that you actually have some expectations for the, you know, nationwide? I mean, what do you think about all this, that basketball in Germany is still, you know, pretty far behind?
Yes, it's true. I mean, it's pretty nice. I was talking to Arnoldus Kubulka a lot about this. They had media day at preparation for the European Championship. I remember we had maybe one reporter there, and they had like, I don't know, like 20, 30 guys with cameras following them the whole week. And I mean, it's nice to have this, this recognition from the whole country. This also with a little bit of pressure. I think it's always good to have a little bit of pressure, but I mean, over there, everybody knows what they're doing. And I think nearly nobody in Germany knew that we won this Alba Schweizer tournament because nobody really cared about it. You know what I mean?
Of course I know what you mean.
Of course it's easier because we have not that much pressure because nobody really cares about what we're doing. But I think it would be nice if there's more, if basketball gets more like soccer right now in Germany.
I think that's unrealistic. Soccer, I think you need I've lived in Germany long enough that I, you know, it's like soccer is 10 million times higher than any other sport, and not just basketball. I think from an awareness, from a team sport, I mean, you could look at handball. Even in the South, though, handball is not too big, but you know, national team stuff is televised. But I mean, if you could even become as popular as winter sports, I know that sounds super strange for people who don't know Germany, but if you turn the television on Saturday or Sunday, on one of the public stations for, you know, first channel or second channel, There's like a 9-10 hour block of ski jumping, biathlon.
That's true.
All day.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you had the awareness of even bobsled on a nationwide level, that would be a step up, wouldn't it?
It would be for sure. I mean, in winter, if you turn on television, as you said, it's just about skiing, ski jumping, like. For me, pretty annoying, a little bit boring, but it's like
you don't like the bobsled?
Of course, it's not my favorite sport, to be honest. So, sometimes Winter Olympics I'm also watching, but right now it's like skiing. I mean, it's a little bit boring. So, but I think they're showing this a lot, and it's very popular because they're very successful. I think this is what is missing in basketball right now a little bit. So since Dirk Nowitzki retired, there's no, maybe except of Dennis Schröder, no really popular basketball player. Maybe somebody who can, or teams in German basketball national team who winning medals, and yeah, so... I think it's going to be popular when we are going to start, when we're starting to win something in this international tournament.
At the senior level, that's where it needs to. That's where the national, team senior level. Mm-hmm. That's where it needs to come. All right, let's kind of close with you can be considered a professional. I mean, Pro A, it's a pretty high level league. Even though Bamberg is running out, you know, a lot of young kids, but you know, it's a high competitive level there. Your biggest misconceptions about what it was like to be a professional. I mean, okay, maybe since your father played, you could always kind of get an idea what it was like from him. But you know, hearing it from somebody and then actually realizing it. You know, what's been the biggest surprises for you moving from moving to become a professional player?
That's a good question. I mean, first, some things are like I expected it. It's like, for me, it's like the dream coming true. Play, have my hobby, and this is like my job. So. But I think the biggest surprise is how tough it is to be like focused over the whole year, over the whole season. I mean, I see these guys here in Bamberg playing EuroLeague, having about 60 games a season, and still getting focused and getting ready before every game, every time, the same routine, and staying focused and staying hungry also. And German First League to still win every game, and also in EuroLeague to compete on the highest level in Europe. I think this is pretty impressive, what I didn't know before.
All right. Lewis, I will let you go with that. I will let you prepare yourself mentally for a flight of getting of getting in and
thank you.
in and out of those tight seats. I can't imagine what it's like to be.
Yeah.
A guy. So what are you, 6'9", 6'10"?
Yeah, I think 6'10" right now.
6'10".
Everybody says I'm taller. I don't know. Yeah, something like this.
Okay.
6'10", I think.
And, and getting in and out of those tight seats on airplanes is probably not too much fun, huh?
It's horrible. It's horrible, to be honest. If you don't have an exit row seat,
And you as a rookie youngster, there's no way you're getting those, right?
No way. I can be glad if I'm not sitting at the window. So,
all right, man. Appreciate it.
I mean, it's like it is. Okay, thank you very much.
And we'll see you then. We'll see you down the road.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Yeah, really great kid, and look forward to seeing him play many, many years. He's on a 4-year deal right now, and he's going to be fun to watch. You know, he's still plenty raw, but can do a lot of things, and really happy for the kid. And we'll see. All right. Without further ado, I'm just going to let you all go because I have other stuff I need to get taken care of. Last thing is to let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song's called Detroit. The band is Great White Buffalo. Song is available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it. Enjoy the basketball. Next time we talk. Next time we talk, I will still be here. Is that right? Yes. Yes. Next time we talk, I will still be here, but we will know who is in the Final Four. So until then, enjoy and be well.
Yeah. My name is Kamil Novak. I am the Secretary General of FIBA Europe, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.